I want to introduce you to Ian and Hannah Ripping and their kids. They're not, just stay where you are for a minute. Most of you will know them, and because we're going to commission them to plant the Bradford Vineyard. And I just want to explain a little bit about why we do this and how we do it. So in the vineyard, different churches have different ways of organizing themselves and making decisions and deciding who says what, okay? And if you're a Baptist, you love the membership committee meeting, don't you? And if you're an Episcopalian, you love the eldership or whichever way the decision-making goes. In the vineyard, we operate what's called an Episcopal setup where we release authority through the leaders. So when we send out Ian and Hannah to be pastors of this church, to plant the church and to grow the church, that's the authority that we send them with. And because we release them, they can call their church a vineyard. That's the structure we use. When we say church plantings, people often ask me what that means. Usually what that looks like is that we send two or more people out from our church family to start a new one somewhere else. So about 25 years ago, when the Southwest London Vineyard was planted out of Anaheim Vineyard, which is in the States, that was the first plant into the UK. And John and Eleanor Mumford and their two sons started in a group in their house in London, and Alice and I joined up then. And 10 years later, they sent us to Leeds, and we started with Alice and I and a couple of our two boys and a few friends in our house in Leeds, and that's what this has become. And then 5 years ago, we sent Nick and Maggie G along with a few friends to Harrogate, and they started Harrogate Vineyard, and they started in their house, and now they use a local chapel. And shortly after that, we sent Alex and Karen Griffin, and they went out to Sheffield with their kids, and they started in their house, and now they've grown as well. And then early this year, many of you know Ben and Kate Newman, who have just gone off to Edinburgh with their boys, Samuel and Joseph, and to do the same thing. And now it's a turn to go to Bradford, which is really exciting. And it's a bit like a strawberry plant. Apparently strawberry plants send out runners, don't they? So you have a plant, it sends out a runner, and where the runner lands, another plant comes up, and then it sends out another one. So that, it's a bit like that when we talk about church planting. They're a bit like strawberry plants. And the Vineyard is a church planting movement. We believe that the most effective way for the world to find out about Jesus is by planting new churches. And in the UK at the moment, we have about 130, and we're planting new ones all the time. So we send out a couple, usually a couple, not always, and a family, and they'll start in their home, and they'll just gather people by having lots of parties, by serving their community, by telling people about Jesus, and usually it grows, and then another group starts, and then eventually it goes to a Sunday, and so on and so forth. Ian and Hannah have been talking about the possibility of planting a church for many years. And in preparation for this, they've been doing the Hub training course, which is the Vineyard National Training course, which we've been running here. They've been assessed and licensed, and they've undergone training. We spent much time in prayer and planning. And they have a track record as a couple of service within this church. Hannah was on staff for quite a long time. We've known them and loved them. They've grown over the years. They've served diligently and selflessly with great fruit and blessing to those around them. They've demonstrated pastoral care. They ran a wonderful house group a few years ago before they moved over to Bradford. They were very sensitive. And when they pray and when they prophesy over you, that comes with a real power and effectiveness. So if you ever get them to pray for you, take it if you can do that. We can testify to their calling, to their integrity, to their discipleship. They are great examples of what it means to follow Jesus. They have made significant life sacrifices, which they're going to tell us about in a moment, to enter into church planting in their careers, in their finances, in their relationships, moving away from their hometown. They've taken many risks. That's the nature of church planting. I want to just very quickly run through some scriptures with you to help you understand why we do this. What's the thinking behind this? Because we believe this is what Jesus has told us to do. Now, he's told us all to do this, what I'm about to read out to you. We are, who are the ministers in this church? Let's do that again. Who are the ministers in this church?
We
Okay, everybody gets to minister. Everybody gets to do the stuff. But the pastoral calling, which is more of a full-time, paid or unpaid calling, is an extra vocation, which is what we're looking at today. But what I'm going to read to you is not just for them; it's for everybody. So Jesus comes back from the wilderness where he's been tested. And he returns, and up until that point, although he's known in the community and he's understood to be a good teacher and all that, he's basically a carpenter, he's a local lad. And then he comes back from this time of being tempted and sorting out who he's going to serve, God or the enemy. And he comes back, and it says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and the person who was going to preach sat down in the synagogue, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone was fastened on him, and he began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Awesome statement. This was a promise and a prophecy that they'd been living with for hundreds of years, waiting for the Messiah to come, for God's kingdom to come. And Jesus, this local lad, sits down in their synagogue and says, "Today it's happening." That's an incredible statement and mission statement that he makes. And it's understandable why some people objected to that. And then he lived out his next few years, and he gathered the disciples, and he taught them how to do the stuff and how to fulfill those things that he just read about setting the captive free and releasing healing the blind and casting out demons. He did it for 3 years, taught them, and at the end of that time, when he was about to ascend into heaven, he says this in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So everything he'd been teaching them to do, telling them how to do it, he says, "Now you go and you do it to everybody else, and tell them to do it to everybody else." It's a fantastic commission. And then within a generation, within just a few years, Paul is writing to one of the leaders of a church, a guy called Timothy, and he writes to him a couple of times, and he says this, "I command 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 to 16. He says, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect your gift through prophecy when they laid hands on you. Be diligent in these matters," he says, "so everyone can see progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because by doing that, you will save yourself and your hearers." And then he writes a little bit later in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. And this is the basis for our commissioning of Ian and Hannah. "In the presence of God," he writes, and this is what I want to say to them, "and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations." I love that phrase. "Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Praying for the sick. Telling people about Jesus. Casting out demons. Feeding the poor." So you can see that there, Jesus kicked it off, and then he told the disciples to do it, and he told the disciples to tell us to do it. And we live in a heritage of 2,000 years of that training and commissioning and sending. And that's what we're doing today with Ian and Hannah. Not everyone is called to this. It's a hard vocation. It's a call to downward mobility, but it's replete with splendor when we get to be part of seeing people set free, when we get stories like Sinclair's story, when people are set free from sin and shame, when the sick are healed, when marriages are restored, when the hungry are fed. The people of Bradford need Jesus. They need to receive his love. And I know there's lots going on in Bradford with other churches, but we get to play a part. And this is our part by Ian and Hannah's calling there. We're desperate for their lives to be transformed, for light to pierce the darkness, for there to be hope in the loss that people experience. Bradford needs to hear and receive the gospel of God's grace. It's a spiritual battleground. And God is calling Ian and Hannah to play their part in growing his kingdom in Bradford. Right, would you like to welcome Ian and Hannah? Come up here. Give them a warm welcome. I think Samuel and Joy are in. Are they here? Yeah, they're here. Okay. So I'm just going to hand over the mic. We're running a bit late, so you know what to do.
Yeah, you wanted us to be done at 5 past, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's quarter past.
Go
How
for it.
How long have we got?
Go for it. Well, just go for it. Do what you need.
Okay, great. Can I put that there? David asked us to answer 4 questions. How did we hear God's calling? Why on earth would anybody do this? What is our vision for Bradford, and how can you guys pray for us? Our journey began about nearly four years ago. As many of you will know, I was made redundant here, and that was a very difficult thing for me and our family, and we'd been taking a little break from coming here for a little while. We'd sold our house, and we had no idea why we'd sold our house, which we genuinely loved. And we moved in with my parents, which was really wonderful, actually, and a great money saver. We were asking God what on earth we were meant to do, where would you like us to go? We thought we'd go and buy a lovely house in Chapel Allerton and have a dreamy life sitting in coffee shops and wandering around the shops there, which is what I really wanted to do. And then one morning I was in the garden and I heard God's voice speak very clearly to me, and that was to go and plant a church in Bradford. And I nearly fell over. I was a bit like, what? Absolutely not. That's not what I wanted to do in the slightest. And he began to speak to us about that. I thought I was going a bit crazy. So I said to him, well, if this is what you really are calling us to do, you have to tell Ian, because I'm not telling him. And and so I left that up to God. And I said to Ian, I feel like God's spoken to me, but I've asked him to tell you.
Which is really helpful when you're trying to figure out what to do. So then I work in Bradford. I still work in Bradford now. So when we were living in Leeds, I was working in Bradford. And on the way home, driving home, I often pray. It's just a good time to pray because you're alone. And I just felt God say, there's an invitation for you. You can just pull over and listen if you want, or if you don't, keep driving. It was very, very gentle. and so I thought, I think I need to listen to this. So I pulled over, not far away from where we live now, bizarrely. It was almost, it probably took about half an hour to get this message across to me. And as I say, it was really gentle. It was just God saying, I think you need I want you to move to Bradford and I want you to plant a church. And it's like, I don't know if I can drive home now. This is pretty big. So I drove home, and Hannah could tell instantly that I'd picked something up. And so that night we talked about it, didn't we? And Hannah was quite relieved. I was quite shocked that this was actually right. I was like, I'm kidding. Bradford, I live in Leeds, it's nice here. Bradford's like the poorest cousin, the poorer cousin of Leeds. So it took a little while to get over that. The other thing then that happened, probably 3 months after that, we were still questioning it. When it's that big, it takes me a long time to accept it. And so we were questioning it for quite some time. And one night I was saying to God, this is just still doesn't feel right. If it's right, you're going to have to show me something more than that, which is just ridiculous. So then I'm driving to work one day and listening to the radio. There's a radio station in Bradford, a community radio station. And it was really weird because the week before they were sort of saying, it would be great if some guests would come and just you can come and listen to the show. And it's a show that I really like, and it's a bit weird. And I was like, there are going to be loads of people who are going to go for that, and I'm probably not going to get on. So I'm driving to work, and they said, oh, we've had one response. Some guy called Ian Ripping, can you come down? And it'd be great, come to Bradford, and can you come to the show and be part of it? I was like, the night before, I was saying, what? Oh, okay, yeah, that's quite a big sign. So I went and did that. It was really fun, but yeah, that's part of the story. Where are we going next to this?
As we unpacked it, we were asking God, well, where should we live? We started to drive to Bradford and drive around places and ask God, show us where we should be. I had a dream about a house, and I drew it down, and one of the significant things in it was an arch window. I saw a house online, said to Ian, I think this might be the house. Ian's like, no, not at all, it's on a main road, I don't really like the area. It happened to be the road where God had spoken to Ian. So of course it wasn't right. And we went to see it thinking that it probably wasn't the right house. And when I walked in, it was, and there was a huge arch window, and we were like, okay, that's a sign. And then we walked into the garden, and there was a pew, like one of these, just in the garden. And I was just like, what a sense of humor God has. I was delighted with that. That night I had a dream that a couple would come up to us at church and say they wanted a church plant in Bradford. I was a bit curious about that because I thought we were meant to be going to church plant, and we were a bit like, what? The next day, a couple came up to us at church and said they wanted a church plant in Bradford, and they've moved from York to join us, which is amazing. And we obviously realised that really God was speaking to us. The house is on a main road. It's a very busy place, and it's next to a business. We share our driveway with a business, and it's not very appealing in some respects, but I felt God say to me during a talk that Sarah Bide was doing actually about Jesus putting himself in places of busyness. He didn't hide away in a little neat cul-de-sac somewhere and wait for people to walk down a random street. We are on a busy street. We see people all day long. And I really felt like God speak to me about how we're meant to be in places of busyness. So that's just where we're at. So we've moved. We've settled Samuel into school. And we've had Joy, which has been a really amazing thing. And so next question is, why would we do this? And the simple answer is because God asked us to. I saw this really amazing quote last night, and it says, it's by Andrew Murray in 1895. Do what God asks you to do. God will do more than you can ask him to do. Give your whole being to him without reserve and without doubt. He will prove himself to you. And that's what keeps us going.
She's sort of put me off now. Sorry. Bear with. Vision. Am I reading that?
I thought you were. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, as Hannah said, the question there was, why would you do this? It's the sort of thing that, it's not the sort of thing where you go, oh, okay, yeah, I'll pack up my bags and go tomorrow. It's taken us 3 years to get to this point, and it took 2 years to make it an acceptable thing to even move. So it's not that we take it lightly, but the simple answer is, when God tells you to do something this specifically and that as strongly as it has, it's very, very difficult to turn away. I find it impossible to turn away from that, as much as I've tried. God sort of just keeps bringing it back and putting you back on that track.
Our vision for Bradford, we ask God every day, what do you see? What can we do? And we feel that God is calling us to be a family church, and that might be a positive thing to most people, but a negative thing to some extent. But a family that does stuff together, hangs out together, is together, all ages. We want to be an action-based church. We don't want to sit around and do nothing. We want to be doing stuff. And I've shared this story before, but I was expecting Joy, and Samuel was at preschool. So it was about, I think it was January. It was during the National Leaders Conference, and Trey Shepherd, who's a pastor at Causeway Coast Vineyard, was speaking. He was talking about what we often ask God for is revival. We want revival. So send your Holy Spirit, Lord. We want revival. We want to change our city. And he says sometimes God is calling us to be part of a rebuilding of a city. And I thought it was really, it was brilliant. I was like, yeah, that's great. What a great talk. And I drove to get Samuel from preschool. And as I was driving, I saw, it looked like, I mean, Brad was very hilly. So I was coming sort of downhill and the city was in front of me. And a huge mill that's been there a long, long time was on fire. And it literally looked like the whole city was on fire by the glow and the smoke that was filling. And it burnt to the ground. I mean, it was a mega thing for Bradford Centre. It was such a coincidence. I'd been hearing about this talk about rebuilding of a city and a mill was burning down. And I felt God say to me, I want you to be part of the rebuilding of Bradford. And what I later discovered was that Trey, when he spoke, he started at 10:30. The fire started at exactly 10:30. I mean, coincidence. I've spoken to him about it, and he's like, "You don't blame me, dear." obviously, not you were in Nottingham at the time, but yeah, I really felt like that was too coincidental. And we feel like God is speaking to us about breaking the walls of poverty down. Bradford is a poor city, and doesn't always have the investment that other cities often get. So we want to be part of that.
Yeah, we were just talking about this last night, actually. so I feel quite strongly that one of the things that we're going to be doing is, as Hannah says, rebuilding the city. So Bradford is the youngest city in Europe, if you take the average age, apparently. So think of the potential with that. If you're going to rebuild something, people need a place of sanctuary and a place of family. So I don't think it's that Bradford Vineyard is going to be responsible for rebuilding the city. Part of it, yes. But certainly a sanctuary is required for people to be able to just rest and to be able to go back and build. So what we saw in our minds was people coming, rest, pray, receive, go out, do it again, come back. And it's this sort of perpetual thing that's going to happen. Yeah, so family, it will fit. I imagine that it will fit. We feel that we're called to build a family church. It's going to feel very family orientated. Not that it's only going to be families there, but it's just a strong feeling of family. That's what it requires to do that rebuilding, if that makes sense.
And we feel that God is asking us to, within that youngest city thing, to support and invest in businesses, in schools, in the community, in the shops, in every aspect of Bradford, and to honour people. We want to be known as a generous church, a church that serves a community. We really feel that we want our reputation. When people say Bradford Vineyard, I want them to say that's the generous church. That's where people are served and cared for and loved and shown mercy and grace and acceptance for who they are. And something that a few words that people have had for us is about strength and beauty, about one of the things we can do is to show God's strength, because when he comes, he brings his strength, and not in a power overpowering horrible way, but in a mighty, generous, gracious way. And that's an amazing thing. And to show his beauty. And also, a song that has been really speaking to me throughout this whole time is written by Jen Johnson about the mention of your name. At the mention of your name, everything can change, and you might only have to whisper his name. And in the fear sometimes, because we do fear sometimes, what on earth are we doing here? We have to remember that we just have to mention his name, and those things will change.
So the next question we were asked to answer was... Okay, let's... come back to that. Was about how can you guys pray for us? That's a really important part of this. And so something that always happens to us when we start something new, we always get the same verse from people, which is Jeremiah 29, verse 5, which is, if I paraphrase, built into three things. So the first thing is about homes, rebuilding of the home, not rebuilding it, but building homes and settling down. So every time we step out and do something, it seems that the enemy tries to break that. So if you can pray about that. And so in terms of our home and any properties that we own, that's protected. The other thing is about families. And so again, every time we step out usually we have something go wrong in the family or illness or something like that. So if we can pray for protection of the family. And the final one, which kind of makes a lot of sense now, is peace and prosperity of the city. So that's something that we're keen to see in Bradford. So if you can pray for that and our part of that. Do you want to go back to that?
Yeah, we feel, and loads of words have been said to us and pictures about building a community space where there's a tree in the middle that has deep roots and that people can come and be. And so we want to pray that we find a city place that we can put a tree. I don't know how that would work. But it has deep roots and it's a cafe. We've had so many pictures that people have said to us about a tree with a cafe around it. I don't know what that means. So you could pray for that as we seek to do that.
Isn't that good? Hey? I think it's fantastic. So we can pray for them. That's one of the major things we can do for them. You can also support them financially, not on a regular basis, but if you want to help them get started, they're going to have to buy PA kit and hire venues and have enough to be able to provide really good hospitality like they've been talking about. So if you want to do that, there's some pledge forms over there and envelopes you can make an offer of a gift to them, or just if you're a regular giver, just use a normal giving account, just put the Bradford reference on it. So we're going to commission them. I'd like you to stand there. Alison, do you want to come and join me? And face us, I think. In fact, you hold this. In fact, Alison needs it as well. This is all getting too complicated. Come close.
So, Ian and Hannah, you've been called by God to work within the family of the Vineyard as servants and shepherds among the people of Bradford to whom you're sent. Will you set the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, always before you as the pattern and model of your calling, caring for people God commits to your charge?
We will.
Will you proclaim the word of the Lord to preach and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom, to call men and women to submit to the King Jesus in repentance and faith?
We will.
Will you promise to heal the sick, cast out demons, to feed the hungry, to look after the orphans and widows, to demonstrate Christ's love for the poor by loving them, touching their lives, meeting their needs as the Lord gives you grace?
We will.
Will you lead your people in worship and prayer, to fast and intercede for them, to offer them love, mercy, acceptance and healing?
We will.
Will you teach and encourage your people by word and example, to bless them in the name of the Lord?
We will.
In the name of our Lord and Master, I want to remind you of the greatness of the trust now committed to your charge, about which you have been taught and trained by preparation for this ministry. And obviously the training goes on. Will you be messengers, watchmen and stewards of the Lord?
We will.
Will you teach, admonish, correct, rebuke, and feed the Lord's family?
We will.
Will you train God's people for the work of ministry so they're equipped to serve the loving God in a variety of places and ways?
We will.
Will you always remember with profound gratitude that the treasure entrusted to you is Christ's own flock, bought through the shedding of his blood on the cross?
We will.
Will you always remember that the congregation whom you are to gather and serve are one with him? They are his body.
We will.
And will you serve with them with joy, build them up in their faith, and do all in your power to bring them to loving, consecrated, costly obedience to Jesus Christ?
We will.
You cannot bear the weight of this privilege and responsibility in your own strength, but only by the grace and power of God. So each day, will you ask the Lord earnestly and humbly to fill you with his Holy Spirit, that he will enlarge and enlighten your understanding of the scriptures, so that you may grow stronger and more mature in your ministry as you fashion your lives and those of your people on the word of God.
We will.
And will you rely on him to give you direction and wisdom from on high as you lead the people of God?
We will.
Great. We're going to commission them. Now, I want to invite Lawrence and Elspeth, who are the couple who moved from York, and Deborah. Is anybody else who's part? And anybody else who's now decided they're going to move to Bradford to join the vineyard here, to come up, and we're going to commission them as to go and do this thing, and then we're going to pray for them. Oh yes, Samuel and Joy, they're going to be there. Are you joining, Michael? Come up and stand up here, Michael. Come on, Samuel. Come on, Joy. Why don't we stand? I know that long ago you began to weigh and ponder all this, and that you're both fully determined by the grace of God to give yourselves wholly to this work and to devote your best powers of mind and spirit in order to fulfill your calling. So all of you, Alice and I, on behalf of the Vineyard, we are delighted to commission you in Jesus' name to the calling of being pastors within the Vineyard and to the initiating of Bradford Vineyard. Now, if you'd like to pray for them, come forward and let's lay hands on them. We're running short of time, so those of you who want to pray for these guys, come. Sinclair, where are you? Where are you? Can you come over here near the drums? And I'd love some of you to go and pray for Sinclair. In a while, I'll close this off and we'll go and get the kids. But if you'd like us to pray for you about anything else, we'll make some space once we've done here. Come gather around them, guys. Come closer, Michael.
Are we doing Mike and Sinclair?
So if you're not familiar with this, these guys are they're just going to receive our prayers for Bradford Vineyard, for them, Ian and Hannah, as we commission them as senior pastors. And for Sinclair over there, they're just praying for them. They're going to pray. They're going to speak what they see God saying to them. They're going to pray for them. They're going to prophesy over them. If you want to hear what they're doing, you'll need to come to the front, I think.
Hannah and Ian, the Lord's gave me a word this morning from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The message of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. For the Lord will come to your house, to your home, and to the church that you seek to build. And whatever happens in the storms of life, the ups and downs, the good times and the bad times, hold on to the rock that is never shaken by war, by storm and tempest, by meteorite showers, by the weather or anything else. He is the rock that never moves, and he is the one to hold on to.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the way you have obviously spoken to Ian and Hannah. This is like got your fingerprints all over it. And we just pray that you will continue to do that, that every step they take will be under your guidance, that you will speak to them. In the Old Testament, there's loads and loads of hearers of the faith and the Lord, where they inquire of the Lord. It says, I inquire of the Lord, and he answers. And so we just pray that your posture will be that, inquiring, asking him to show you the next steps. And we just pray that you will show them, Lord. We totally know you will. You're already doing that. So we just pray that they will continue in that. And just felt like in the worship, just to pray, it's the powerful name of Jesus that you go in. It's the powerful presence of Jesus that goes with you. It's the powerful voice of Jesus that will speak to you and guide you. And it's the powerful strength and fortress of Jesus that will protect you. So we bless you with that, Ian and Hannah. And Samuel and Joy.
We're going to carry on praying. Just I want to read to you one last scripture, which is like a commissioning scripture. And then we're going to formally finish whilst they carry on praying. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Amen. So we're going to carry on praying for these two and for Sinclair. Anybody else who would like us to pray for them, just make your way to the front and let me know. If you've got children to grab, please go and grab them, then come back and pray some more if you wish. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. I hope you have a great week. Just as they're asking, I pray that you protect them.